cosmos, that world. Now you got, don't think when he says sanctify them from the cosmos, you got to get in his mind, because he wasn't out there, he was in here, and he says sanctify them from the world. I didn't come to take them out of the church, I come to put them in the church. That through them the church might be saved. And so what we start learning is the way Jesus prayed, he really was. He says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for these. I ask you to protect them from the evil of the church, or of the world. Huh? Yeah, why don't you guys come on? I don't know what we're going to do. We'll put you back up there if we need to. We just want to let the Spirit of God do something. Doesn't really matter what I thought we was going to do. Although I do ask him, Lord, what are you going to do? Sometimes I wonder if he knows what he's going to do. You know, he just says, well, we'll just see how people respond. Is that right? See, it was his intention to take them into Egypt. Into the promised land. Bring them out of Egypt, take them into the promise. Was it not? But they couldn't go in. Why? Because of their unbelief. Kept them out. And so his intention was to take them in. And what happened is they got in all this religious stuff and couldn't get in. Caleb, what? Children? I don't know yet. I'm waiting to see which direction that we're going here. Anyway, the prayer that Jesus prayed, he says, Lord, glorify me that I can bring glory to you. In other words, Lord, if you don't pull your part off, everything that we've done up until now is for nothing. Everything that you've caused to happen, all the miracles that we've done, all the messages that we've preached, all the kingdom mentality that I've been able to impart, all the things that we have done up until now won't mean a hill of beans if you don't glorify me. If you don't do your part, it's all for nothing. Right? So if God didn't pull his part off and resurrect Jesus and make him glorified, which means exceedingly special, if he didn't make Jesus exceedingly special, then it was all for nothing. Glorify me, Lord, so I can glorify you. And we're taught to pray like Jesus, or we're not. We're taught to pray like he prayed and do what like he did and be what he was. And he's our high priest and our example. And so if I were to pray then, Father, glorify me, make me exceeding special, how does that set with your religious mind? Don't answer. I know. But if I were to say, ask your spirit, and you understood that unless Father does his part here, and he does his part in my life, that I'll bring him no glory. I can do all I want to do, but if he doesn't do his part, everything I've ever done matters to nothing. Everything this church has ever done, if he doesn't do his part, matters to nothing. Right? We've just been here and been in another religious little church over here on Main Street. If he doesn't do his part, we can bring him no glory. So we've got to change our thinking, and we've got to come to the place where we can pray like Jesus and say, Father, glorify me so I can bring glory to you. Because if you don't make me special, then I won't have a special effect on other people. You understand what I'm saying here? And we've gone through this worthy thing. We're so unworthy, we think. We're so unworthy to be special. He died so you could be worthy. His blood is on you so that you are worthy and that you are special. You are so special to him. And he wants to make you exceedingly special. If I say that to you, it's okay, right? But if I say he wants to glorify you, that bothers you. Because we've got to understand what the book of Revelation is really about. It's about the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John was taken up on a mountain and he saw the glory of God coming out of heaven. And this glory that was coming out of heaven, out of this high place, out of this heavenly place, was actually the bride of Jesus. You can read that in Revelation in chapter 21 and verse 9, 10, 11 right there. And you'll see that that's that glory coming down out of heaven. In other words, what we really are is his glory. And we've got to understand, it's okay, Lord, if we say, Father, make me special so I can make you special. Father, make this church special so we can minister to this whole area, this whole region. So something special can happen here. Make us exceedingly special. We just don't want to be a religious church with some people coming in here. We want something special to be happening. Father, glorify us so that we can glorify you. Amen. Now, I don't know how I got to that. It's just something I saw this week in my studies, and I just wanted to share that with you. What the Lord is speaking to us today and telling us today is there's a warfare that we've got to come into and an understanding. Not just go out and just punch the air and like Paul talked about, box your shadow. You know, don't be shadow boxing. There's something that we can really enter into. And the Lord is speaking that to us today. It's been in our praise service. It's been, Lance said it earlier, and things that he said and the word that the Lord that came of the Lord this morning to us and what Judy's had already. So we know what the Lord is saying today. And if I'm in the Spirit, then I'm going to go along with what they've got. Or they're either going to go along with what I've got. And if we don't, then something's amiss. Okay, we need to find out. But we've got something here that the Lord's wanting to do today. And I want to, I'm just trying to find out when to do it. And so, let's let the children go. And you go going back there to the children's church, and children's ministries can go back. We'll receive the offering at 15 minutes till. I think. That's the plan. And I want to share with you a couple of things. Crystal, I haven't forgotten, okay? So Crystal's going to share with you about Mark just before 15 till. I think. Pardon? We want to pray for everybody. The John study is coming to, the first part of the John study is coming to its end. We've been in an 11-week study. We've just finished the ninth. We've got the 10th and the 11th week to go. And here is the diploma or the certificate that those that will have completed it will be receiving. And I just wanted to show it to you. And this will be a reminder to me to tell you that if you've got makeup tests to make, then make sure you get them done this week. I have to have them this week. I'll be there at 6:30 and you can come. And you know which ones you've missed. If you don't, you can give me a call and I'll tell you and you can be prepared. But I need you. I don't really care what you make on the test. I just want you to make sure that you complete it and that you've studied and you've read the material and you've done some of the stuff that we've done, because it's life-changing. Everybody that's been there and been faithful to it has had a life-changing experience. I haven't talked to a single person yet that has not been able to see Jesus in a new and magnificent way. He's really real. He even spits. Come on. He spits a lot. I hope that doesn't bother you religiously. See, if you weren't there last week, you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Father, we just want to flow with you. We want to stay in the current. We want to stay in your Spirit. That river, Lord, that comes from your throne. That crystal clear, we don't want any murkiness. We want to stay in it, Lord. We want to be on our raft and just floating with you now. We don't want those weights that so easily beset us to weight us down and anchor us. We want to flow right now. We want you to cleanse us and to forgive us. And Lord, allow us to be glorified, that we can bring glory to you. Father, I pray you sanctify us from the world, from religion. Not deliver us out of it. We're in it, but not of it, so that we can change it. And Father, I pray, Lord, not for these only that hear, but for those, Lord, who will come through my words. But Lord, they too can come into an understanding of your goodness, your magnificence, and your glory. Glorify us now, Lord. Make us exceedingly special so we can bring glory to you. For no other reason, Lord, for no other reason. No other reason at all. But only that we can bring glory to you. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. God is so good. I want to turn, I think, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I also want to go and just see what the Lord wants to say. Patty, it's so good to have you back with us. Patty and her firstborn Forrest are now dwelling with Roger and Kelly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's read verse 3, 4, and 5. I don't think we've yet come under understanding. At least we've heard it taught, but I don't know if we've entered into the real understanding that we are really in a war. We know we are. But I wonder sometimes if that understanding or that knowledge has become faith. In other words, if we're really walking this out. For we walk by faith. What you're really walking in is what you really believe. And in verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, what NIV Bible says, and I like it, we do not wage war as the world does. We do not wage war as the world does. There are some crazy things that are going on right now. And at the same time there are crazy things going on in our midst, there are some great things going on. There are some wonderful things. Where's Susan? How's your hand, girl? Now, you correct me if I'm incorrect on this testimony. But Susan hit her hand against a piece of board or something and supposedly demolished your knuckle and broke the bone. And then she went to the doctor and they wanted to run a pin all the way through into her wrist. Well, she had us pray last Sunday morning, and she came by one day last week and had me pray, and then she had the praise team pray for her this past week. Now, this is all verified by x-rays and those kinds of things. In fact, that was her testimony. She asked me to pray for her. She says, I know it's all established by x-rays, and we'll have proof that God has healed me when he heals me. And so I prayed for her, and we prayed for her last Sunday morning, and then she had the praise team pray for her last Wednesday night. And then she goes to the doctor Thursday. Is this correct? Another x-ray. No x-rays. Everything's just right. Felt up. Okay. I'll repeat that so you can hear it. Yeah. She went back. He felt it. Went, looked at the x-rays, come back and says, you don't need any surgery. You don't need a pin. Just put it in a cast so it'll stay still and properly recover. Right? And then you're okay. Cindy Ball has had some kidney problems. We've been praying, and she's progressively been getting better and better and better and better. Man, and they were talking dialysis to her. Amen? Betty Cooper? And last Sunday night, they prayed for you, and no more pain. So, okay. That's right. Bang. You hear that? She had severe back problems last Sunday night at Life Group. They prayed for her, and she was healed. Caleb had an asthma attack, couldn't hardly breathe. He was severe asthma attack. Don laid it down. Don looked at him and said, "Now, when I touch you, God's going to heal you." And as he did, bang, Caleb Hill. Has it coughed since? Is that correct? Not no asthma, nothing like that. So God is good, Terry. Yeah, your cousin. You was telling me he had cancer and went back, no cancer. So what I'm trying to say is that there are some weird things, though, happening as well. People are falling and breaking limbs, and these things are, there's strange things happening. We are in a war. And we don't understand because it's not in the flesh. We don't war in the flesh. We don't make war in the flesh. We're warring with something else. And what we've got to understand is that this really is happening. This really is going on. For the weapons, verse 3 again, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Read that one more time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Three things there that he specifically listed. It casts down imaginations. It brings in order people's priorities. And then the third thing that it does is that it makes the mind subject to Jesus. How many knows that's the major thing that we really war with? Is we want our mind not to be subject to Jesus, but to have its own will. Amen? But the weapons of our warfare do these things. And my what I emphasize is not what they do so much as what are they. And then how do we yield them or wield them, however that is said. How do we do it? Do you see yourself in war? I know that you know you are, but do you see yourself in this war? Do you see yourself doing anything in the war other than coming to church? What are you doing in your weaponry? What is going on in your life and in my life that proclaims to the powers and principalities that I'm going to kick your fanny? What proclaims to that power and principalities that we wage war with, that thing that's not flesh? What tells it, what are you doing that tells it, I am going to whoop you? Terry was telling me a joke last night. He said, I made a list one time of everybody I could whip. He says, this one guy came up to me and he says, what's my name doing on that list? He said, well, this is just a list of everybody I can whip. He says, I don't think he'd whip me. He said, okay, I'll take your name off. Is that not kind of how we war, though? We'll make a list of everything we're going to overcome. We're going to overcome finances. We're going to overcome this marriage problem we're having. We're going to overcome this problem with our children. We're going to overcome. But when that thing comes up to us and says, you can't whip me, well, I'll just take your name off.
That's good.
Is that why we war? So what are these things, and what is the warfare, and what goes on here? And you know, it's not until we believe that we can beat this thing, it's not until we walk in faith, and it's not until we start learning what the weapons are and using the weapons that we're really going to whip it. I mean, it's like this list. You make a list, but if you're not going to sling fist, you ain't done nothing. You just got a list. And until we fight, until we come into this place where we can punch something and beat it, then we're just talking. We're just punching the air. So what is the weapons? And what I'm really after today, what I really want to get today, what I'm really after and wanting to get a handle on and get out of here today with, is I want you so fired up about warring. Now look at Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Because here in Ephesians 6, we find the weapons. Only place I know that he tells us where the weapons are. He tells us that we have weapons in 2 Corinthians 10 that are able to do all this wonderful stuff, that are able to get our priorities right, to get our thinking right. We have all these weapons that are able to do these wonderful things, but yet we don't know what they are. And if we do know even what they are, we're not slinging them. We're not wielding them. We're not using them to come against the enemy that we're fighting with. And the primary weapon, and I want to just read this passage, and my emphasis is, again, not so much on the weapons. I'm not going to preach the armor of God. That's not what I'm here to preach. I'm here to show you these are the weapons, but I'm here to show you what this is to come to, what this is to funnel down to, and what it's supposed to do. Verse 12, Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, Paul is in the same mind. He's in the same place where our war is not in the flesh. It's in something else. And that there's a high place. There's a high place of warfare that goes on. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I'm going to provide these things for you. Now, you've got to take them. You've got to take them. Wherefore, take unto you. I think the NASV Bible says, put on. You've got to start putting these things on. I've got to start putting these things on. We've got to understand. Put unto you the whole armor of God. Here's your weaponry. Here's the weaponry that God has given to us to war with these principalities and these powers and these things that come against us, these things that we want to defeat, these things that are coming against our body right now, coming against some of us that for some reason are unspeakable and understandable. We don't understand why things are happening to us. I was sitting in a place yesterday and somebody said, well, I just don't understand. How can this be happening to us? How can these things be happening to us and to our body who are really seeking after God? Well, if it weren't happened to people who were seeking after God, would Paul write this here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you believe that people could put a curse on you? I don't believe that. Well, why did Paul write this? Why did he say in 2 Thessalonians 3, he says, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable people. If these wicked people couldn't have some effect on us. And so what we've got to understand, I'm not saying just because you've gotten hurt or injured, please understand that. I'm not saying that because, you know, that you're weak or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that we've got to be privy to the thought that something can be happening. Not that it is, but that it could be. Principalities and powers. What about it? They do have power. Okay, yeah. That's good. She's up here telling me, principalities and powers. Principalities and powers. I said, well, okay, so what? Principalities have powers. It took me a little bit to... Principalities have powers. And so we've got to understand that there are things that we've got to come into in war with. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand... Now, the first thing you've got to understand is you've got to do all you can do before he'll take over. You understand? I see a lot of people, they know a whole lot. They've learned a whole lot in 10 years. But that's all. They're not doing it. Before he'll take over, you've got to do all you know. Before he's going to come in there and start warring with you, you've got to, first of all, do all you can do. Do all you can do and then... Saying. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge, know a whole bunch, but don't do anything. Got their list made, but erasing them one by one. And I've really seen them whip them. I've seen them whip them. And then later on, go back and erase them. I'll just erase your name. You're a little harder than I thought you were. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into these things, but you've got to understand truth is more than knowledge. Truth is more than knowledge. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, not selfishness, righteousness. A lot of people want to be glorified for selfish reasons. Jesus says, glorify me so that I can glorify you. Give me all these things, Lord, so that I can have these nice things. When he says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you all these things, just added to you. Not selfishness, but for, so that we can bring glory to him. We get so out of balance. We get so selfish, not righteous. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, peace is not like we think of peace. Peace comes after war. This is the peace the Bible talks about. This is the peace. He's not telling you to get all this stuff on and then go say somebody, tell somebody, well, I don't really want to fight. Is he? Would that be kind of dumb? You know, put all this stuff on and then say, well, I really don't want to fight. I'm just teasing. That's what it looked like a Christian. It's what he does too. Whop. If you don't want to fight, he's going to hit you. He knows he's got you whooped then. And so he says, this is not peace. This is not a peacekeeper. This is a peacemaker. You make peace. There's a difference. You understand? And the gospel isn't to please you. It's to offend you. If you're used to darkness, and you're in a dark place, and your pupils of your eyes, what do? They open up, don't they? They dilate. They get big. And then all of a sudden, somebody hits you with a spotlight. Ow! I don't like that! Do we? And we'll holler. Everybody, oh! We'll try to shut it out. Oh! It's not supposed to feel good. Jesus is a tremendously offensive person when you really look at him. Tremendously offensive. And he says, it's the gospel of peace. In other words, he's really saying this. He said, I didn't come to bring peace like you think peace. I come to bring sword. That'll bring peace. And you've got to understand this. See, that's what he said. That's what you walk with. You're putting this on, folks. You're not out there to make people happy. You're out there to bring them light so they won't go to hell. Do we understand that? If we don't understand, we're missing it. We're not witnesses of him. Because he is the light of the world. And he comes where there's darkness. And he hurts people's eyes. And their minds and everything in your whole system here. It was boom. Gospel of peace. Above all things, the shield of faith. Everything we do must be by faith. Listen. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We receive Jesus Christ by faith. We speak in tongues by faith. We minister in the gifts of the Spirit by faith. Everything we do is by faith. We believe in a resurrection by faith. Everything you do is by, most important, if you don't believe this, forget it. You're just wasting your time. If you don't really believe there's an enemy, if you don't really believe that this is how you whip him, if you don't really believe this, you're just playing games and you're gonna find yourself in a bad place one day. And we've got to understand this is about, you've got to believe this. You've got to make yourself, put this on. Make yourself believe this. You take control of the way you think. Bring that principality and that power down. Bring that imagination. Make that thought subject to Jesus Christ. He is a God of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. And above all things, believe this. This is not just a Sunday coming together and let's clap our hands and jump a little bit and go home and everything. This is it, folks. This is faith. Believe this. Above all things, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you don't believe you're going to beat your finances, you'll never beat them. If you don't believe you're going to have a good marriage, you'll never have a good... If you don't believe your spouse is going to come to the knowledge, saving knowledge, you got to believe this stuff. If we don't believe that this place is going to explode and affect this whole area, it won't ever do it. We've got to make ourselves believe it, because the war isn't with your to stir up your faith. That's not the war is unbelief. You got to understand when the enemy comes, he comes to attack your unbelief. Even Jesus in his own home city could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. The disciples couldn't cast out the devil because of their unbelief. And they hadn't prayed and they hadn't built up their faith, and that's where I'm heading. I'm not talking about though all this. I'm just kind of throwing these things in. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Salvation is, I want to say it this way. Salvation is not going to heaven. Heaven is a work of salvation. Do you understand that? Heaven is a reward of salvation. Jesus, the angel come to Mary and says, you'll name him Jesus, because he shall save his people. Sozo. And Jesus says, I come to give you life and that abundant. Salvation is the abundant life. It's victory in every area of your life right now. Abundance in your finances. Abundance in your marriage. Abundance with your children. Abundance in everything. Abundance at your workplace. Abundance in every area of life. He said, I come to give you all the answers, all the wisdom that you'll ever need to have an abundant life. That's salvation. Salvation is something you can see. Moses stood at the Red Sea with his rod and he said, stand still and see God's salvation. I can see if you're experiencing salvation or if you're just going to heaven. I wrote a book on that. Get the book. God's salvation, what is it? So few people really understand what it is. Helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit. We know what that is. It is the Word of God. You've got to put this on. And you don't take it and put it on the mantelpiece, up on hangers, so it looks good over the mantel. That's not what this sword is for. This sword isn't just to stay in the scabbard. You take it. This sword is to wield and to fight with and to war with. You got to see yourself wielding this thing. A while ago when Judy was talking about the tambourines, I was up here. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I have a weapon that can change people's minds. Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. I have a message that'll change your marriage. Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. I have a message that'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. And I'm attacking. I'm not backing up. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I have a message that'll save your children. They'll want to get up here and dance. They'll want to come to church. They won't want to just stay at home and say, oh, I don't want to go to church. They'll ask you on Friday, is it Sunday yet? I want to go to church. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And I slobber. And I spit. Because Jesus did. And we've got to come to understanding, folks. There's a warfare. Satan. The blood of Jesus is against you. Now I'm in another place. You see, there's a boldness that is required in the Gospels. There's a boldness you got to have. We pray for all these lost people. Oh, God, save them. God, save them. Save my wife. Save my husband. Save them, oh God. Save my children. Save my boss. Please save my boss. Paul never prayed like that. Jesus never prayed like that. He said, don't pray for the world. Pray for these whose words will change people's lives. That's who I'm praying for. When Paul said, pray for me, he says, pray for me that I'll have a boldness. That God will give me the utterance wherewith I can speak with a boldness that will change people's lives. It will hurt their eyes. It will be a light that comes on in dark places. It will change their lives. Give me a boldness. My God, don't give Delbert any more boldness. Somebody prays that. No, don't pray that. You just leave, but you pray for me. When you pray for me, give me boldness. Acts chapter 4, Ephesians 6. Let's read it one right quick. We're right there. I wasn't going to, but it's right here. Paul says, praying always. See, the war, all this sort of stuff is put on to what?
Pray.
To pray. All this stuff is put on to pray. If you don't pray after you put all this stuff on, you've just gone through a whole bunch of charismatic stuff. We put on our shoes, and we put on our girdle, and we put on it, and we take our swords. Let's wave our swords. No, you enter into the heavenly dimensions. Satan, the blood of Jesus. You see, you come into prayer. You got to see yourself fighting and yielding your sword. I could take you to Genesis chapter 31 and show you where the angel of God came to Jacob and says, now lift up your eyes and see. You got to see something in the lifted up area. Jesus, when he prayed, he didn't close his eyes. You read it, John chapter 17. We close our Lance, I want to borrow your car. Please, I pray, let me borrow your car. Where are you anyway? Lance, I need you to do something for me. Will you do it? I pray. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. That's a religious habit. When I'm praying alone, you know how I pray? Father. When I come before you and I prophesy, you know what I do? Father. We got to break some religious habits. I don't care how unreligious you think you are, you still got some in you. Amen. All right, here we are. Here we go. Put all this stuff on so you can pray. Praying always, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Uh-oh. And that's a whole other word, isn't it? And watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplications for all saints and for me. He says, I want you to pray for me. Here's what I want you to pray for me. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me. First of all, that I'll know what to say. I got to know what to say, God. You got to give me the utterance. That utterance will be given to me, that I may open my mouth. How?
I love you so much.
We were cutting up last night. Mike Tyson, probably the baddest fighter in all the world.
You know how he talks?
Turk isn't here, is he? If Turk was here, I'd get him to do it. Mike Tyson. His voice just does not matter. Go along with that punch. And he says, you know, pray for me that I'll have boldness. That I'll have boldness. That I'll speak boldly. Open my mouth and say something with a boldness and a brashness. To make known the mysteries of the gospel. And there's about 7 or 8 different mysteries of the gospel. Of course, we don't have time to get in. But how does he want to say them?
Boldly.
How you want a preacher to preach?
Boldly.
Do you want him to turn the light on or just keep it dim? I'm going to put a dimmer on these lights. You put a dimmer on me? Some people do. fact, some people just want to flip it off, man. Pray for me, Paul says. Now, first of all, I'll know that you've given it to me to say. And then secondly of all, that when it's said, it'll come forth boldly. Give me the boldness. And so when we pray, we need to pray that way. And understand, folks, that we got to start wielding that spirit of truth, that word of God. We've got to go against those powers and those principalities. Amen? All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to receive the giving. Crystal's going to come and share a short thing about Mark and what they've been through this year. All right, and then I think that's a great time to come and boldly go before God and expect God to totally and absolutely heal Mark. Is that okay? See, there's a faith that is developed here today. Amen? The word of God's come forth. We can expect signs to follow.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Who's receiving today?
I want you to look at John chapter 17 quickly. Quickly. When Jesus prayed, it was so unique. It was so special. I had never seen it. And I'm going to go back and spend lots of time here in John 17 when I have an opportunity to. But when Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for those that would come. He gave God a reason why God should answer the prayer. Do you hear me? He really did. Let's read it a little bit. And look, I haven't got it marked or anything, so it's just gonna. I'm gonna see it when I get there, though. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, I've already spoken about that. The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." He says, "I have done my work. Here's what I have done. You give me this power, and I give it to people. I've healed people. I've done what you told me to do. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee." Here's what really eternal life is. Eternal life isn't going to heaven. Eternal life is knowing God, Father. If you want to know if you've got eternal life, just ask yourself the question, do I know Father? This is eternal life. "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me." Can you hear that? Jesus says himself, "I've done what I'm supposed to do. For this reason, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do." Father, we have done all we know to do to bring you glory.